Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. Today's text is text 10. We sing the Sanskrit as a line. Ever since it's on the board, okay. Bhava Vida Bhagavata. Bhava Vida Bhagavata.
Bhava Vida Bhagavata.
Sutta Bhutta Sayam Vibho.
Sutta Bhutta Sayam Vibho.
Sutta Bhutta Sayam Vibho.
Sutta Bhutta Sayam Vibho.
Kirti Kurvanti Kirtani. Kirtani, Santastena Sabhavrita, Santastena Gadhavrita, Bhava Vida Bhagavata, Kirta Bhuta Sayam Vibho. Kirti Kurvanti Kirtani, Svantastena Gadhavrita. Please chant.
Bhavadidha Bhagavatas.
Bhavadidha
Bhagavatas.
Kirta
Bhuta
Sayam
Vibho. Bhavan, your good self. Vidha, light. Bhagavata, devotees. Tirtha, the holy places of pilgrimage. Bhuta, converted into. Swayam, personally. Vibho.
Vibho.
O powerful one.
Kirti
Kurvanti.
Make into a holy place of
pilgrimage.
Kirtani.
The holy places. Sa'antastena. Having been situated in the heart. Vidabhrita. The personality of Godhead. My Lord, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Please repeat. My Lord, devotees like your good self
are verily holy places
personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Report. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord, and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Jamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura, who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth their name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. And what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tham Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitham Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Apta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Turu Vyascha Keta Sindhu Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to sit here and try to give back from all that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And thank you for all being here. Please give me your blessings that I can say something worthy of our wonderful disciplic succession. Hare Krishna. So I was very happy when I saw this verse. It's such a famous verse. It's such a beautiful verse that we've been hearing how Vidura had been traveling. Sounds like it was 30 years from what I've heard in previous classes. He was gone since before the war, and then so many things have happened since then. And now he's come back, and Yudhisthira is greeting him. But where Vidura's been while they were busy fighting the battle of Kurukshetra and having so many then the sacrifice after the battle, being there, Krishna leaving. Now, Vidura, all that time, was traveling and going to visit the holy places. When he left, it seemed like a very awkward moment that he was chastised by his nephew, who asked him to come here. The way I remember reading it was this son of a kept mistress, toss him out of the palace and leave him with only his breath. You know, so rude. I mean, so offensive. But Vidura took it, that within his heart he thought, oh, okay, I'm tired of this palace intrigue. This is Krishna giving me an opportunity to go and purify myself of all these worldly concerns. And he went from one holy place to another. And so now that he's back, Yudhisthira's looking at him and seeing that just by seeing you, you've been to all these holy places, and in those places you heard from the holy people there, and now you've come back, and you're devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. So I thought of many things in connection with this verse. I thought of the first time that I was in Srila Prabhupada's personal presence. I'd been chanting for a couple of years. I was living in the temple on Kauai, but he came to Honolulu. And at that time, there were kind of two rival camps, because the temple I had moved into was under the auspices of Siddhartha Rup, Ananda Goswami, who had his own followers and then had brought them all to Srila Prabhupada's feet. But he never really got in the, didn't like to be under the managerial authority of the GBC. So there was quite some tension in the atmosphere. And then Prabhupada came and kirtan was going on, and the love that filled the room was so palpable. All the rivalries disappeared. They melted away. It was just, everyone was just happy to be there in Srila Prabhupada's presence. And I remember thinking, I'd read about Vrindavan, but of course it was years before I ever got there physically, but I thought, this is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. And in one of those last purports where, in the third, what chapter is it? In the 10th canto, Prabhupada's last chapter, chapter 13? Yeah. One of those last purports tells how in Vrindavan there's not a trace of envy. But the tigers and the deer that are normally inimical are dancing together and even touching mouths and kissing. You know, it's like, and there's no hunger or thirst there. It's like everyone is fully satisfied. And this is the atmosphere that was created by Prabhupada's presence. Normally you wouldn't think that Honolulu is the spiritual world. But in that particular corner of Honolulu, under the banyan tree, is this beautiful temple. And when Srila Prabhupada was there, and the Panchatattva are there, and devotees are there, the whole Vrindavan atmosphere became manifest. So, yeah. I also remember attending a class, Akidanagari, that Barsana Maharaj, His Holiness Barsana Maharaj gave some years back. And he was, that class was about Navadvip or Mayapur and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But he kept stressing the point of how important humility is to be able to access the Dham. And you can even go to the Dham. And he gave some example. I don't remember now. Maybe Tankazi or someone that was in the Dham but did not maintain a humble heart. And they kept envy in their heart. And so they, even though they were physically in the Dham, they were not able to enter in. So at the end of the class, I raised my hand and asked a question. I said, Maharaj, I know some devotees that have never been able to go to India, but they have a natural quality of humility. So are they able to access the Dham? And he just smiled and he said, that's the whole point of this class. You know, so this Vidura was able to take a completely offensive remark and turn it in such a way by his own humility. Oh, the cause behind the immediate cause is Krishna. And knowing full well Krishna's the supreme controller, and he's the best friend of everyone, he must have a plan for me. And so without resentment, but taking it within his heart, he was thankful to Krishna, and he left to go on pilgrimage and visit all these holy places. I was also thinking how very, very fortunate I've been, all of us, but in my own life, I know, especially during the 90s, I went many times to Vrindavan and sometimes stayed several months. 6 months was the longest, sometimes 3 months. One time a devotee from Gitanagar came to New York to pick me up at the airport and bring me back. And we were riding and he said, what do you do there? It was one of these people that's a friend of Lord Krishna, initiated, but not as absorbed as, but anyway, he said, what are you doing? And mainly we were attending classes and we did service and like that, and I said, studying love of God. And when you think about it, I mean, what an incredible privilege in life that all of us have been given by Srila Prabhupada, that we may have so many different activities. I didn't have the household life, so that lessens the complication to a large degree. But still, you have to eat and earn a living, and of course, in my years of serving the temple, I was getting money so everybody else could eat and have a roof over their heads and pay the bills, and like that. So the anxieties are there. We all have to deal with the fact that we have material bodies. Sometimes they get sick. If you're lucky, they get old before inevitably they die. We have so many responsibilities in the world. And yet, you know, depending on when a person meets the process, there's opportunity to be hearing about the spiritual world, hearing about the process for moving from this plane to that plane, and the possibility of even becoming so absorbed in thoughts of the spiritual world that in our own lives, in our own small ways, we can attempt to be like Vidura, that some reverse happens and we remember things we've heard, things we've read, that, oh, Krishna must have orchestrated this. Somehow or another, it can be used to get me closer to him. So, you know, he'd been very involved in palace life, and we have our own little, every man's home is his castle, we have our own lives that we're, but the place of pilgrimage means hearing. What is that? So many different verses had come to my mind. Only last night I thought, where is that verse about one who goes to a place of pilgrimage just to take a bath? Right, and can you tell, it's 10th canto, but can you tell the translation, the English meaning? That's true.
That's how I understand.
But anyway, so he if he goes to a place of pilgrimage just to take a bath, and he considers the land of his birth as worshipable, and he considers those that have a bodily relationship with him to be his only kinsmen, then he's no better than an ass or a cow. I mean, it's very heavy language. But part of that is, okay, so we're not these bodies. Yes, we have a family relationship, but we should, we have the opportunity, and Prabhupada created this society so that we can have an extended family of many people who are like-minded, who want to make Krishna the center of their lives. And we help each other in that way. Sometimes we were hearing the other day, I was hearing from Rambaru, a beautiful interview. Anyway, she was saying how important it is for us to reveal our minds in confidence and be able to hear. That's, of the six loving exchanges, that may be the overall kind of weak spot in ISKCON. We're better at offering prasadam and receiving prasadam. You know, we're good at giving gifts of transcendental literature. But it's hard for us to reveal our minds, and it's hard to listen while somebody else tells you. But it's a very important part of the process of developing the deep, loving relationships that will qualify us to go back home. Yeah. So, another thing that struck me about this particular verse, the way it's worded, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. So I thought how in Krishna consciousness so much is personified. Like we hear that Sishupal was envy personified. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And I believe in the the different demons in Krishna Lila that, is it Agasura or Kaliya? Agasura represents envy. Anybody corroborate? But I, yes, thank you, okay. So it's also very humbling when you have to be the presenter because I'm thinking, oh, I'm so lucky. I spent so much time in Vrindavan. I attended so many classes. But then, you know, sitting through, you know, several sessions of demons in Vrindavan Leela, and I can't remember now, you know, one came to me, but they're all available at vihe.org. You know, now that we have so many things on YouTube, I had forgotten that these hearings, simply hearing, there's nothing to look at, but you can put on your headphones and listen to these seminars from 30 years ago. Wonderful, wonderful seminar. We had, a very small Bhagavad Gita discussion group over the phone these days, but something came up in our discussion on Tuesday, and I remembered a class I'd attended from Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Mayapur in 1990. I was like, oh, it was on Brahma Samhita and all these things are discussed there. Go there and listen to it. I haven't listened to it in a very long time, but being in Mayapur, hearing from him these Brahma Samhita verses, it was all about Pradhan and Mahatattva and the Lord's glancing over the material energy and impregnating all the souls into it. You know, and it's like in my heart I have some understanding, some at least shadow of an understanding, but not clear enough to be able to convey it to someone, but I was able to send her to the seminar because it's available. And this is the amazing benefit of living in this age of technology. There are, of course, many non-benefits from it, too. What is it, Radhanaswami? He's telling us Radhanaswami refers to the World Wide Web because it's like a spider web that can completely entangle you. And it's true, and we have to be very cautious. There's, what was it Prabhupada said to Upendra one time when he heard him talking and laughing in the other room and very sternly called him in? Were you gossiping? And he admitted he had been, and Prabhupada said, gossip will ruin this movement. You know, and this is what unfortunately does take place. So if you're going to go online and look for things, you know, seek the nectar and not the not the place where the flies go. I mentioned to my son the verse and what I was thinking about, so many things personified. He said, yes, in this age, we're very lucky that it's better to see objects personified, like the rivers. We know there's a goddess behind every river, than to see people as objects. And that's so much the tendency in this age. Even and in the business world, there's whole departments, human resources. It's like, oh, I can use this person. And our unfortunate tendency, as long as we're situated in bodily consciousness, I was reading recently that to have a separatist mentality means to be thinking, how can I utilize this person, this situation, whatever it is, for my, thinking myself to be the body, for my enjoyment, for my advancement. But our natural, real soul position is to have no separate interest than Krishna's interest. You know, and so it's like we're in the training camp. We're sadhanas, sadhana bhaktas. We practice, trying to, okay, I'm hungry and I want something to eat, but I'm not going to eat it until I'm and ask the spiritual master to accept it. Please glance over it. I know I'm fallen, I can't do anything purely, but if you, or Prabhupada said, you give the flower, you put it in Radharani's hand. If she offers it to Krishna, he'll accept. So we go to her, we ask her, please, please, I'm so foolish, I'm so fallen, I'm so engrossed in the bodily concept of life, but you give me some mercy, and speak about me to your Krishna. Does anybody have any comments or questions so far? I had other things thought of, but it's actually almost quarter of, so I don't mind getting comments at this point. Ragatmika. Button on the bottom? You come over? Okay. Whatever works. So I can repeat it.
As looking at this verse again, at first I was thinking, okay, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of holiness. Well, didn't everybody carry the personality of Godhead in their heart? So, but then I read it again and I thought, oh, maybe the distinction here is that the devotee, that pure devotee, is consciously carrying the personality of Christ. He sees the world, he sees everything through the eyes of Krishna, you know, as opposed to Krishna kind of or himself in the heart, who is very desperate or
Well, he's present in everyone's heart, but he's covered with many, many, many layers, or some layers, according to our receptivity. Actually, that was something I thought of. That was a really nice point, Ragatmika. In this purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. So I just read recently, Prabhupada wrote in a letter, I forget to whom, but he said, the electricity is coming from the power plant, but it's according to how much the receptacle can take. A little bulb is only gonna shine so far, a nightlight bulb even less, but you know, you can have some big engine operating from the same powerhouse, but it's according to our openness too. So that's exactly the point that you were making. Thanks. I think Rasa had her hand up. No. Right.
And, you know, you were talking about how important it is to build our minds.
Mm.
You said to develop relationships with other devotees. If you allow me, I just wanted to add that it's not only developing a loving relationship with each other, but how do we develop loving relationships with Krishna? Because
Right, exactly.
And so, as we go through the anarchic drinking, we're chanting, naturally, we need some growing. We have to come from the anarchic to the one that we should grow. And if you don't feel online, when the anarchic come out, the doubts come out, the drinking come out, there's no way to do that. So it's completely essential. I mean, to find the person that you trust, or several people that you trust, and reveal online.
Right.
There's no way we can do it either.
Right.
So these were just some things that came to my mind. You know, talking about humility, and I thought about, you know, like we hear this all the time. Humility is essential in spiritual life. We hear gratitude. Like Krishna consciousness is all about gratitude. Everything Krishna has given us. And then be grateful for that. So how can we be grateful if we're not humble? The proud person thinks, you know, self-entitled, you know, we deserve so when things happen to us, why do you have to be? So only a humble person can be grateful.
Right. No, that's wonderful. I don't know if the mic's working. I can't repeat everything you said, but you made me think of something also that I was planning to say in class about how when Dronacharya gave two disciples two instructions, he told Duryodhana, please go out and see if you can find someone better than yourself. And he told Yudhisthira, go out and find someone less than yourself. And both of them were unsuccessful. You know, Yudhisthira actually had seen a man, I think he was drawing water on the Ekadashi day. Of course, I mean, they lived a very high standard. But he was thinking, oh yeah, that's not very good. And then he saw that the man was taking it to his animals to feed. And then he realized, oh, I'm the one that's critical of someone who has no fault. So he was completely humble, came back and said, I'm sorry, I couldn't find anyone worse than me. Whereas Dronacharya, by contrast, was like, well, I looked. But I mean, this is the thing, and if we, and I was thinking about how valuable this introspection is, even. To look in our own hearts. I'm very rarely here. I'm at home. I'm listening to the kirtan. Sometimes I'm like, you know, because I know it's supposed to be Namaste Saraswate Devi. If somebody goes Saraswati, I'm like, it's Saraswate. I'm like correcting everybody all day long. It's so ridiculous. And then I think, but they're there. And I'm here. You know, it's absurd. But like, at least by acknowledging it, I don't let it completely take over.
You
did Yaga and then the Gatnika.
This is such an end of the world. We have to give up the tendency to criticize everything and everyone all the time, including ourselves.
Oh.
Then we can become completely peaceful. Criticism does not inspire anyone to grow. Criticism does not soften the heart. A critical mindset will not make us feel better. When we truly want to cultivate a peaceful mind and heart, we have to replace criticism with encouragement. Rather than seeing faults in others and in ourselves, we shift our focus to seeing what is good and encourage that growth.
Oh, wonderful.
That's pretty good.
That's wonderful. It's very wonderful. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. Ragatmika. That's the daily challenge, right? Just shout it out.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said, how you do that at home online. I do the same thing. It's like, God, it's there. Okay, but I want to corroborate what Mikhail was saying about an archetype ripping. You know, I heard once that the process of removing the anarchists requires association with people and the ability of the mind.
Right.
It requires
No, she's underlining your point.
Yeah, this is a nice analogy. Oh, this is a nice analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and like in the olden days when the only way to be a devotee was to live in the temple with other devotees, it was pretty intense. And sometimes we would be encouraged by examples given, like, yes, if a jeweler has some rough stones and he wants to polish them, he puts them all in the tumbler and sends it around like that. So you're knocking all your rough edges against everybody else's rough edges, and you're practically speaking, you know, it's very painful. But then, you know, in the end, all the stones are smooth. Well, we're not necessarily all at the end yet, but I mean, we're getting there. Oh.
When we say devotee association, and sometimes, you know, we think that, you know, people have to put themselves in that situation. Like you said, you have to live in the temple, you have to be here every day. That requires a real balance. Like, who you're going to take association from, what our capacity is.
Right.
Because some people who go to that intensity, they behave even better, they stay. Some people don't.
Right, right.
So, you know, we have to know what intensity we can take, how to
when I referred to that example, I said it was in the olden days. And there's a reason why. I mean, the thing is, Prabhupada was operating with very limited, he knew, I don't have much time. I have big goals. So he encouraged that, you know, young men to take sannyas, and he knew they're not all going to be able to make it. You know, everybody lived like this. Send your children off to school when they're 4 or 5 years old. And it's like, yeah, we're still suffering so many repercussions from the emergency rule that was operating at that. But now things are more congregational and people can go more at their own pace. It's opened up so that people that don't, you know, live in a situation where they're able to, you know, come and be with a whole group of devotees every day can still feel hopeful. And even these online sanghas, yeah, YouTube and the Zoom talks and everything, you can get wonderful association. But it's a very, no, that's a very important point.
Yeah, especially
and,
Right. And we don't, you know, of course, there's a lot of senior devotees who are very humble and they're very, but then there are some devotees who are like, you know, I can't correct you, and there's no consideration.
Right.
We have a relationship, we can develop that relationship, do you have trust in me? So we have to be careful, you know, how we can.
Right. No, and the thing is, if one who's in a position of authority misuses that authority, it's not that there won't be repercussions. I once had a temple leader whose philosophy was, of, as far as managerial, it comes down. And, you know, it's been 30 years since he was engaged in devotional service. So, I mean, you can create situations where offenses have long-term repercussions. And no devotional service anyone's ever done ever goes in vain. But there may be a long pause before you can take up the process again because of the, and you said, oh, senior devotees, and this is one of the difficulties. We often, there's different ways of defining senior. Senior can be, I've been around longer than you, but if we actually read the definition of what is a Kanista Adhikari, you know, the tendency to think I'm right and all others are wrong is a complete neophyte way of seeing. An Uttama Adhikari sees that, like you just steer that example, no, I can't find anybody that I'm better than. What was it Prabhupada was, I was recently reading, he was describing the first class man, the second class man, the third class man. He was in a public forum and someone, maybe Sweden, and someone attending asked, so are you a first class man? No, I am a fifth class man because I am serving all the others. And of course he's a first class man, but he's not presenting himself. And he actually was so grateful. What was it on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance day in Los Angeles? He was in, you know, choked up, couldn't speak, thanking all of you are representatives. My Guru Maharaj sent here for me to train. Your representatives are my Guru. You know, so that level of humility we certainly shouldn't imitate, but we should admire and in our own way try to be honestly. Actually, a dictionary definition of humility is honest admission of one's own shortcomings. So, yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good to be humble, not in a false way. Oh, I'm so low. I'm lower than Mr. I'm lower than a worm in a stool. Yeah. Well, do you really feel like that when you go around correcting everybody? Yeah. No, but I'm prone to make mistakes. And keep an open mind to someone else's opinion. And my opinion on something may be different. But can I still respect that person as an aspiring Vaishnava? See that Krishna is in their heart. Yeah, it's a process. But I was also thinking how, in terms back to the verse about places of pilgrimage, that each of these temples that Prabhupada has established is itself a place of pilgrimage. And Prabhupada also wanted that we become fit representatives wherever we go of the, you know, and what was I hearing? Just sometimes even mundaners realize that you might not know that the smile you give someone or the encouraging word that you give someone they may have been on their way to suicide and it can really turn a person around. So what to speak of, what a devotee can do. If they're kind, they try to give Krishna, try to carry Krishna in the heart, move some of those coverings off of Krishna in the heart, become conscious of Krishna, and share what we've been given as freely as we're able. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. I'll be able to share it.
Yeah.